I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, a story that all of us have heard many times. On the third day, there was a marriage at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the marriage with his disciples. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone jars were standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast." So they took it. When the steward of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the reading. This text that was read, you know, we look at this and it could be construed as this. The amazing thing about this is that Jesus turns water into wine. But not just into wine, folks, we're looking at 30 to 40 gallons. That's a lot of wine. That's a lot of wine. But his wine was the best. Everyone at the party said the wine that Jesus made was the best. But another thing this text may be very good for is for Mother's Day. Think about it. If we look at it, you know, from Mother's Day point of view, Jesus says to his mom, he says, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." But mom says, "Do whatever he tells you." He never said he would. Mom knew he would. He's like, "What do you have to do with me? Come on, Mom. I'm not supposed to show off." Mom says, "Just do what he says. He's going to do it." Mothers are wonderful. They'll look at a kid and they can pretty much tell what a child is going to do, and Jesus was no different. When his mom called on him to do something, he did it. So we had that, "Oh, Mom," type of response. "What have you to do with me?" Notice how Jesus sounds exasperated. Then note that although he never said he would, he does. And just as joyfully as he would do anything else. Moms have power of their own. God has power of his own. I would imagine many of us sitting here today have had an "oh, Mom" experience. Your mom has said something to you and you go, "Oh, Mom." Teenagers, they do that all the time. And many of us have no doubt had that same feeling when it comes to our Christian responsibilities. You know, "My son, go into the world baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Oh, really? It's so much easier to just sit in my home and watch TV or play sports, fish, hunt, or nap. You can't really expect me to put out any effort, can you, Lord? Isn't that really what happens for a lot of Christians? "I said I believe in you. Why do you require anything of me?" That's what makes this so special when we do installation. Because it says there are people out there willing to go beyond baptism, as we talked last Sunday. However, God actually does expect us to put out effort to perform the ministry of his son. How else will the work get done? There were 4 Christians. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was a special job to do, preach the gospel. Everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure somebody would. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody. It seems the problem is many new Christians do exactly what we were looking at last Sunday, which is being baptized, then stopping at that point. It's like entering the highway on the ramp, then stopping before getting into the traffic stream. Even worse, we may be going the wrong way on the highway. An older gentleman was driving home from work when his cell phone rang. His wife was on the line in a panic and said, "Honey, be careful. I just saw on TV that some maniac is driving the wrong way on the interstate." The old man replies, "One, there's hundreds of them." Notice that Jesus turned the water into wine to satisfy his mother's request, but what we read at the end of the passage is, this is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. What if Jesus said, "Okay, I did a miracle, turned water into wine, that should be enough," then went home? Like, "I baptized everyone with a miracle. What more is there to do?" But Jesus didn't stop. He continued his ministry. He kept going. It's no surprise that his first miracle was at a marriage ceremony. How appropriate. Wedding is a beginning of new life. For the couple, a new life together. For the parents of the couple, a new life is relatives to one another. And quite possibly it leads to new life when children enter the picture. Newness. That's what our Lord was and is all about. New wine, new teachings, new miracles, new life. And like our Lord, we must be prepared. When wine was requested, he was prepared to carry out the will of his Father, to do the first of his signs. When we're asked to carry out the ministry of Jesus Christ, we must be prepared to go beyond baptism and into the trenches. A student taking a class in ornithology, the study of birds, finds it a very difficult class with a very ornery professor. He walks in for the final and he thinks he's studied up for it, but there's no paper and pencil questions, no little blue books. He looks above the chalkboard and there are 25 pictures of birds, but only their feet, just the feet of the birds. The professor says, "Here's your final. You must identify 25 species of birds just by their feet." Well, the kid goes ballistic. He says, "This is crazy. Nobody in their right mind can do this. I thought I was prepared, but I can't pass this final. I'm not going to take it." The professor looks at him. "You have to take it. I'm the faculty person. I decide what the final's going to be. You have to take it." The kid says, "Well, I'm not going to, and I'm not taking the final." The professor says, "You don't take it, I'll flunk you." The kid says, "That's okay. Go ahead and flunk me." The professor says, "All right, you've failed. What's your name?" The kid rolls up his pants to his knees and says, "You tell me." Bottom line, the student wasn't prepared. And trust me when I say, rolling your pants up and saying, "You tell me," won't work with our Lord. How do we prepare to do the hard work of ministry? Serving on committees, being an officer in the church, that's just a part of it. That's not all of it. First and foremost, I believe we must have a goal. After all, how many times do we take a vacation without planning? You know, we get in the car, load the family up, and take off without a clue as to where we're going or what we're doing. Well, there's one out here that does that. We don't, right? Normally, we will make plans and have a destination. Without that, we are truly up a creek. I recently read an insightful story that would serve as a good reminder for us when it comes to having a goal. The story is about a group of climbers who set out to scale a large mountain in Europe. The view boasted a breathtaking peak of snow-capped rocks. On clear days, the crested point reigned as king on the horizon. Its white tip jutted into the blue sky, inviting admiration and offering inspiration. On days like this, the hikers made the greatest progress. The peak stood above them. It was a compelling goal. Eyes were called upward. The walk was brisk. The cooperation was unselfish, though many, they climbed as one, looking at the same summit. Yet on some days, the peak of the mountain was hidden from view. The cloud covering would eclipse the crisp blueness with a drab gray ceiling and block the view of the mountaintop. On these days, the climb became arduous. Eyes were downward and thoughts inward. The goal was forgotten. Tempers were short. Weariness was an uninvited companion. Complaints stung like thorns on the trail. We're like that, aren't we? As long as we can see our dream, as long as our goal is within eyesight, there is no mountain we can't climb or summit we can't scale. But take away our vision, block our view of the trail's end, and the result is as discouraging as the journey. So many of us, after baptism, lose sight of our goal. Some of you have heard me talk about the youth group that I had in the mid-80s. I was so much younger. That was nice. I had over 200 kids in that youth group. Through the years, many of them were baptized, and I heard each of those, before they were baptized, talk about their lofty goals as baptized Christians. Things like, I'm going to serve on as many church committees as I can, and not just serve, but make a difference. I'm going to become a preacher. I want to serve God to the fullest. I want to shepherd a flock. And I heard, I'm going to be part of a ministry that helps others, the poor, the homeless, the victims of disasters. Another said, I'm going to be a missionary. I want to go into the world and serve God. Another said, I want to be a nurse and help heal people. And yet another, and I even heard this, I want to be like Jesus and love everyone and help everyone. These were young people, ages 12 to 18. I stayed in touch with most of these wonderful young folk. Out of over 200, one became a doctor. Seven others stayed with the church after graduation. Most lost sight of their goal. Look around you. Many lose sight of their goal. How many times have you heard someone say, I'm sorry, I'm too busy to get involved with a committee or serve as an officer of the church? Is not feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming a stranger, clothing the naked, or visiting the sick still important goals? And is not our church a most wonderful way to do that? It is absolutely okay to become discouraged. Even the disciples did. Remember? They became discouraged. That's okay. It's okay to become weary. But to quit? To give up? If and when that happens, that is when we have lost sight of the goal of Jesus Christ. A worthy and honorable goal. The goal of our Lord and Master. Let us not say, O Lord, as though exasperated, but O Lord, as a word of excitement, words of expectation. Let us fill the jars with life-giving water, the water of Jesus Christ. And in closing, I'll share with you, last night I got a text from Seth. He's at a mission camp. And I shared this with the elders, but he's at a mission camp and he works all day, and then that night they have someone preach and do a meditation. And he texted me and he said, I felt God move in my heart. Man, when was the last time you felt that? When was the last time you felt God move in your heart and were moved to do the work of Jesus Christ? Within your church, within your community. Again, I say, let us fill the jars. Jesus didn't just make wine. Jesus made a sign. That's what we hear. He may have said, oh, Mom, but he did it. We may hear the church call us to work on a committee or as an officer or whatever and say, oh, really? But do it. Because it's going to make your church better. It's going to make your life better. And you know what? It's doing the work that we were asked to do. Wonderful work. Wonderful work. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come this morning, we know that oftentimes we lose sight of the goal. Many times we were baptized and somewhere down the road we lost sight of what it was we were even baptized for or why we wanted to be. And Lord, we know that you never give up on us, and may we never give up on you. May we seek out your will, do your work. May we always be able to say, here I am, send me. And Lord, as we come together this day, we also intend to leave this sanctuary and break bread together and take the cup. We ask that you bless the food that we eat, that you take it to the nourishment of our bodies, that we may always do your work and your will, and may we be the first to say, here I am, send me, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.